You're all I want. You're all I ever needed. You're all, Lord, I want. Help me know you. Help me know, Lord, you are here. Help me know, Lord, you are here. Hallelujah. Help me know, Lord, you are here. You're all, Lord, I want. Jesus, you're all, Lord, I ever needed. Your Lord is all I want. Help me know, Lord, you are here. Help me know, Lord, you are here. Yes, Lord, more than anything else, I want you, Lord. There is no competition more than the whole world, more than thrones, more than riches. More than anything there is, you deserve the glory. Help me know, Lord, you are here. It matters not what it is. You mean the whole world to me. For you gave up everything for us. We receive the grace to love you that much, because the only love we have in us is the love that you gave to us. Therefore, I'm convinced, oh God, that that same love will love with the same intensity. We receive your love so we can love you the same. Blessed be your holy name forever, Father. Blessed Lord, be glorified. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Amen. You deserve the glory. And the honor. So we lift our hearts and worship as we bless your holy name. You deserve the glory and the honor. So we'll lift our voice in worship as we bless your holy name. You're so great, you do miracles so great. There is no one, Lord, like you. There is no one else like you. You're so great, you do miracles so great. There is no one, Lord, like you. There is no one else like you.
Rasha Rambore Balatosa Katakaya. Oh, you deserve the glory. You deserve the honor. So I'll lift my voice in worship as I bless your holy name. You deserve the glory and the honor. So I'll lift my voice in worship as I bless your holy name. You're so great. You do miracles so great. There is no one, Lord, like you. There is no one, Lord, like you. You're so great. You do miracles so great. There's no one, Lord, like you. There is no exalted. Kadiboshe tison telavakash.
Thank you, Holy Spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. God is good. Amen, amen, amen. I want to thank God for every one of you here tonight for this special time of our gathering together. Thank you for leading. This week coming, we are going to be having special meetings. You may be seated, please. These meetings are captioned as Waymaker, God, my Waymaker, the God who elevates. I want to encourage you to fervently begin to pray for these meetings, because I believe they are breakthrough meetings for every one of us. And I want you to be able to step into your destiny and to begin to walk in your destiny. See your life as a life that has been graced with the favor of God. Every time the Lord Jesus Christ, God wants to do something, He makes a way for it to happen. When the Lord Jesus Christ was to come into the earth, He made a way. And He made the way for the woman that was barren and was now aged, and a man that was now old. But he didn't give up. He was still worshiping. He was still praying. He was still seeking God in the secret place, out of the view of everyone. When the angel of the Lord encountered him and told him that his life was about to change, that he was going to have a son. And while he was trying to doubt it, God shut his mouth, because the words are important. And God did not want this man's words to stop him. for him and for the whole world. And so it was that the Son was born. He was born with a different name, not the name of his heritage, which was the normal name that he should have carried, but God gave him a different name, a name that signifies God's grace and God's favor. And so it was that John, the one called the Baptist, was born. He had the anointing, not of his father, but came with the same spirit like Elijah. Elijah was a forerunner to the one who had the double portion. Now this one came and was the way maker for Jesus. Mountains were reduced and valleys were filled. A pathway was made straight. God wants to do something that is not normal in your life, in my life, for this church. Amen? And we are going to be here, and I want you to be here, be totally sold out to it, so that you can experience all that God has for you. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. That's going to be starting this Wednesday on the 15th and the 16th. And then it's going to be Sukkot. And I can't wait. You know, this morning the Lord gave me the title for the next one coming up in October. And this morning also he gave me the one for November. I'm so excited about the meetings that are coming up, because the assignment is to have a conference every month this year. Hallelujah. And everything, God is loading you and I up. He's just filling us. And we are coming to the place of the busting out and of overflow. Amen? Hallelujah. Anyone who comes close to you are going to get zapped with the goodness of God. Amen? Hallelujah. Anyhow, tonight, I have a very dear son who's going to be speaking to us. The Lord Father said concerning his son Jesus, "This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased." And this is a son that I am well pleased with. I thank God for him. He's been a blessing again and again. And I celebrate the goodness of God in his life, because God is great in him. God is awesome in him and in his family. I remember the day that I poured the oil over his life in Toronto in some community center. Was having a service, and the Lord says, "Today, raise this man up and his wife." And I called them both up and anointed them to be ministers. I didn't know at that time all that was going to happen, but God is such an awesome God. He knew what he was doing that day. You know, he beat the enemy to his plan, because God, I don't even know, God knows the future. Amen. He knows all things. And so it was that God anointed him and his wife. And when we are not in Toronto, they are there, you know, upholding the saints, ministering to them powerfully. And I believe it was some Wednesdays back, the first Wednesday of this month, we were having our leadership meeting. And I looked up at the end, I said, "Get ready, get ready. God has a word that he wants to bring to us through your mouth." And I didn't know when, but I when I was called to ministry, I was not given hours to prepare, you know, and so that's what I do to everyone. Be ready all the time, in season and out of season. Be ready to present a word. And so today we're going to receive the word of the Lord from this dear son, Minister Dean Stewart. Blessed be the name of the living God. I saw Dean just a moment ago. There he is. Praise the Lord. Dean, I just want to thank God for you. And I'm going to turn this over to you. But before I do so, you are not always in ministry. And once upon a time, you were in the realm of sports and playing football and all of that. And I suppose you might have thought that was the path the Lord was going to lead you, but no, today you are a VP of a great organization. You know, I've just been so blessed by your life and how God has been mobilizing you and your family. And tonight I just want you to speak to us. Let God speak through you. Let his hand rest upon you mightily. And may you be his oracle this day and henceforth. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. God bless you.
Bless you, Apostle.
You're welcome. Bless you, too.
We thank the Lord. This is a blessed opportunity always to speak to the saints of glory and peace. I take it as an honor that Apostle called me today, as he mentioned. He only called me today and said, today, tonight, you're going to teach. And he is right. We should always be ready in and out of season to teach the word of the Lord. And the minute he said, tonight, the Lord put the word into my heart that I should be teaching tonight, which was a word I shared with the saints a couple weeks ago back in Toronto. And I want to share that word of God with you today. I believe it is a powerful word. I believe it is a word that will help each and every one of us as we consider where we are right now in life, the things that God has answered for us and yet to be answered, for us to investigate. Maybe there is a reason why I have not received that answer, or maybe I have received that answer, but I have not been obedient. So the Lord wants to help you and I today. As much as I am teaching to you today, I'm also teaching myself. I say that always to the saints because I'm ever learning what the Lord is trying to do. So before I start, I'm just going to open up with a word of prayer, and I will be teaching tonight for those of you who are doing audio visual from the New King James Version. So if you can prepare that, that'll be great. God bless you. Father God, we just thank you this night, Lord, for your goodness and your grace towards each and every one of us. We thank you, Father God, for your glory, for every single person that is connected, Father God, either in Glory and Peace Winnipeg or through the internet tonight, Father God. We pray that the hand of God will rest upon each and every person tonight, Father God. Lord, that their hearts will be open, Father God, to receive the word that you have for them tonight, Father God. That the enemy, Father God, will not enter in at all during this time. That, Lord, their hearts will be open, the seeds we planted, Father God, and that we will all bear much fruit in the name of Jesus Christ. So, Lord, so we thank you today. The word that I have for today is about asking, seeking, and knocking. And I always like to teach the word of Jesus Christ because there is no one greater that walked the earth that we should pay attention to, even though the entire Bible is based on the Spirit of God speaking into men. But when Jesus was here, when he speaks, I pay special attention to the words that he says to us. So I want us now to turn to Matthew chapter 7, and we're going to look at verse 7 to 12, and we're going to investigate what the Lord says there. So Matthew chapter 7, looking at verse 7 to 12. It says, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receives, and he who seeks, finds, and to him who knocks, it will be open. When we look at those words that have been spoken right there in those verses, those are very sure words. Jesus is speaking confidently, saying to you and I that if we ask, we will receive. If we seek, we will find. And if we knock, it will be open to us. So you and I now have to investigate to say, well, there are some things that I've asked for that I don't see, I may not have received as yet. I am knocking on doors that may not be opened, and I am seeking, but sometimes I don't know if I have found. But the Lord's word is sure. If you put up the verse again at verse 7, it says, ask and it will be open and be given to you. It will be given to you. Seek and you will find, and knock and it will be open to you. Verse 8, it says, for everyone, not someone, not a few, it says, for everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be open. So the Lord is essentially saying, Jesus is essentially saying, all of us, every single one of us who asks will receive. So the question is, if we do not receive, why aren't we receiving? But before we get into that, if we go to James chapter 1, verse 5 to 7, James chapter 1, verse 5 to 7 reinforces what we just read in Matthew chapter 7, that we just read. James chapter 1, it says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally. Again, Jesus is saying, if you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally without reproach, and it will be given to him. Next verse. And it says that, but let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. Next verse. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. And the last verse says that he is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. So again, in the book of James, the Lord is reinforcing that if you ask for wisdom, it says everyone who asks for wisdom, that we will receive wisdom from the Lord. Now, we can say to ourselves, Lord, I have asked for wisdom and I seem not to find wisdom from you. What is the issue going on in my life? And this is what we're going to investigate tonight, because again, God's word is sure concerning wisdom. He says, everyone who asks for wisdom, I will give it to all liberally. You know, I just want to tell a quick story at this time. I remember when I was at Bell Canada working as a senior manager at the time, it just so happened that I was vying for a director position, and that position was given to someone else. I wasn't even asked to interview for the role, and someone else received the role. So I went to my VP at the time and I said, why was I not given the opportunity to even interview for this role? And she had said to me, I didn't even know that you wanted to be a director. And someone wants to move up in the corporation. So at the time, the VP said, you know what? Now that I know, I'm going to invite you to all of my meetings with all the directors, because they will determine who the next director will be once there are opportunities available. So at the same time, they also gave me a mentor. And this mentor was in a different part of Bell, in Bell Satellite, it was called at the time. So I went to this man who was a VP, and he said to me, you know, Dean, I was also passed over once for a role. And he said, you can do a couple things. You could either feel sorry for yourself and, you know, mope and wander around why you did not receive, or you could take this time to build your brand. So I said to him, what do you mean by that, build my brand? He said, when people think of other people, they always think of something concerning them. What do people think about when they think of you? Do they think that you're diligent? Do they think that you're smart? Do they think that you're one that always wants to help? Instead of spending this time moping about what didn't happen, spend this time to build your brand. And I knew at that time that the word of God, or God himself, was speaking to me. That was the wisdom that came to me, and I received that wisdom. No different from what the word of God is saying to us in the book of James. He said he gives it to all liberally, but we also have to receive that wisdom that is given to us in order for it to operate in our lives. Amen. So as we get back to the book of Matthew, chapter 7, we're now going to verse 8, where it says, let's go to verse 8. It says, For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, it will be opened. The next verse, we're going to go all the way to 12. Or what man is there among you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? Next verse. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Now, this is the key verse that I want to look at in Matthew chapter 7, verse 12. It says, therefore, meaning this is the verse, the key that locks everything together that I just said. Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. So Jesus establishes that if we ask, we will receive. If we seek, we will find. If we knock, it shall be open to us. He says, because everyone who asks for these things, they receive. But he anchors everything that he just said on the law and the prophets. So whatever you want men to do to you, he says that, therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. So Jesus is saying, if you want to receive, if you want to find, if you want things to be open to you, you have to treat people right. This is what the Lord is saying to you and I. So this is a clue into why sometimes we don't seem to get the answers that we want, because we're not treating people right. Now, you may wonder, how does this tie together? Well, it ties together very nicely. Let's go to Matthew chapter 7, where we are right now, but let's start at verse 1, where Jesus clues us into and ties these two themes together, and it'll become clear to you and I what the Lord is saying to us. So Matthew chapter 7, starting at verse 1. So this is what Jesus was talking about right before he got into, if you ask, seek and not. He says, judge not, that you be not judged. Now the question is, who's going to judge you? Who is going to judge you and I? Well, it's going to become very clear who's going to judge you and I. So the Lord is saying to you and I, be careful. Don't judge. Don't judge anyone. But going on to verse 2. Because he says, for with what judgment you judge, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. This is important. Let's stop here for a while and investigate what the Lord is trying to say to you and I. He's saying, as much as possible, do not judge. Because with what judgment you judge, you will be judged. And the most important thing that the Lord is saying to us, the measure that you use, the severity of your judgment, the way in which we treat other people, the Lord says, well, I have to measure that back to you. So when it comes to the seeking, the asking, and the knocking, which comes right after this, these statements that he makes, he says to us, you have to understand that I'm anchoring the asking, the seeking, and the knocking on the fact that you have to treat people in a manner that is pleasing unto me. He says, the law and the prophet says, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy mind, with all thy strength, and love thy neighbor as thyself. Those two laws make up the entire 10. So the Lord is saying, yes, you need to love me, but you also need to love mankind. And the way you judge your brother and your sister, and the severity and the manner in which we do that, the Lord says, I'm going to answer you. You want, you're asking? Okay, I will answer you. You're seeking? You will find. You're knocking? Things are going to be open to you, but it's going to be open in accordance to the measure in which you deal with mankind. the measure in which we deal with one another. If we look at the world today and where we are, I believe that what the Lord is trying to do in this time is trying to show mankind that we have gotten to a point where we do not care for one another. You know, it's no small task that the Lord in this time showed everybody who was at home the fact that there is a police officer that felt comfortable kneeling on the neck of somebody else and killed this man in the street. It was undeniable. No one could deny that they didn't see it. Everyone was at home. People were all home to see this. The issues that are happening right now in Western Canada, all these graves that are being uncovered by the wickedness of mankind, the Lord is saying, this is not acceptable. It is not acceptable that children should die at the hands of adults. All these things the Lord is revealing during this time of COVID, where people are home and are able to see for themselves that the Lord is not pleased with the way that we're treating one another. So the Lord says in the verses here, the measure in which we use, that is going to be measured back to us. Remember the man who owed, in today's terms, millions and millions of dollars to the king, and he begged and begged, and the king forgave him his trespasses. And then he went out, and this person owed him $100 in today's terms, and he wanted to throw him in prison over the $100, forgetting about the mercy that he just received earlier in the day. And at the end of those verses, the Lord says that, you know, if you want the Lord to forgive you of your sins, you also have to forgive others of their sins. So as we get back to Matthew chapter 7, and we're looking at verse 2 again, it says, "For with what measure you judge, or with what judgment you judge, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you." Verse 3. And it says, "And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye and do not consider the plank that is in your own eye?" Verse 4. "Or how can you say to your brother, 'Let me remove the speck from your eye,' and look, a plank is in your own eye?" The Lord says, "Hypocrite. First, remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye." So this is the teaching that Jesus gave, which preceded the asking, the seeking, and the knocking. I believe that it is no coincidence that this teaching was there. Jesus was establishing, setting up the fact that we need to treat one another right, because the Lord is looking in on what we're doing, and it is going to impact our asking, our seeking, and our knocking. And we might think sometimes, "I did not receive, or I did not receive everything I should receive." Well, we have to consider that Jesus Christ, our Father God, is a righteous judge, and he has to measure back to us what we measure out to others. So this is why God is always saying to us that, you know, leave things to him. Vengeance is his, says the Lord. This is what he's saying to you and I. Vengeance is his, not ours. We should just love our enemies, feed our enemies, do the things that are right, because leave the vengeance and the judgment to him. That is God's domain, our domain. And the only thing that God has asked us to do is to love one another. So as we consider now, why do we seem not to get answers that we're asking for? Why is it that we sometimes seem that we ask for things and the answers are never coming? You know, I know people that, they ask for an answer. They may go to an apostle, or they may go to me or someone else, and, "God, I want an answer to this. Please help me to get an answer." And the Lord gives them an answer. But guess what? They don't like the answer that they were given. So they go to another church. "I hear this pastor is coming. I hear this prophet is coming. I'm going to go to that prophet, and I'm going to ask the same question. What is the answer to this?" And sometimes the answer is silence, because God has already given you the answer. Oftentimes, we do not like the answer that we get to the situation. Sometimes that when we knock, we do not like the doors that are open to us. But those are the doors that the Lord has opened to us. Sometimes we don't like the situations that we are faced with, but God said, I've given you the answer. Now it's up to you and I to respond to the answers that we've been given. We've knocked on the door. The Lord says, I've opened these doors for you, but it's for you and I to walk through these doors. So as we think about what the Lord is saying to us, there are many reasons why we seem not to get answers, but the Lord is confident in the way that he says he always answers. So you and I have to be reminded of that he always answers. And when he answers, it's because you and I are also answering in what he's asked us to do concerning others and concerning the Lord himself. So as we look at our lives and we think about the answers we receive, it's for you and I to go back to the Lord and say, Lord, is there something that I need to correct in my life in order to get the answers completely that I want to receive? The Lord has already established in his word to you and I that he answers. He will definitely answer. He gives us the answers liberally in everything that he does. But it's up to you and I based on the measure that we deal out to others. So if we do not get answers, we need to look now at certain things. So one of the clear examples that, just a simple example that I'm going to give about answers. So if we look at 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7 and 8, just a simple area for us to consider. 1 Peter 3, verse 7 and 8 says, husband, likewise, dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. So here's a clue to you and I again, the treatment of people. Your wife is a person. Your husband is also a person. There are also commandments to that. It says, wife, respect your husband. Those are also commandments as well. So we have to consider that if we are not treating your spouse, who is a joint heir with you, joint heir, not just the person outside, but a joint heir with you, if you're not treating that person right, the Lord says, be careful. Those prayers of yours, the asking, the seeking, and the knocking might be hindered because of your treatment of your spouse. That's just one area. As we move now to Romans chapter 12, verse 17 to 21, the Lord talks about, as I mentioned earlier, he's talking about, he says, repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as it depends on you, live peaceably with all men. And I pause there for a second to say that, this is a key verse that I always turn to when there are issues in my life concerning others. The Lord says, as much as it depends upon you. You can't force someone to forgive you. You can't force someone to like you. You can't force someone to be at peace with you. But if you are the problem, if you are the wondering, if you're the one that is hindering forgiveness, if you are the one that is saying, I'm never going to speak to this person again, if you're the one that say, I can never forgive this, the Lord says, listen, as much as it depends upon you, live peaceably with all men. Next verse. It says, beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. This is the key. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink, for in so doing, you will heap up coals of fire on his head. Last verse, it says, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. So again, the Lord is reinforcing what he says in the book of Matthew chapter 12, that I want you to treat mankind the best way as possible, because the better you treat people is the better way that I'm going to treat you, says the Lord. It's a very simple word. God says, treat people right, and I'm going to treat you right, because it is one of the law and the prophet. It establishes the Ten Commandments. It establishes that the Lord says, we don't want our prayers to be hindered based on the way that we treat people. So now I want us to go to Luke chapter 11, and I'm going to turn there. Luke chapter 11, verse 9 to 13. We are going to look at the same verses again that we looked at in Matthew, but there is something that the Lord is saying here to us as well. It says, "So I say to you, ask, and it will be given. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, it will be opened." Next verse. "If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will you give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will you give him a serpent instead of a fish?" Next verse. "Or if you ask for an egg, will you offer him a serpent?" And here's what the Lord says. "If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those that ask him?" So we ended in Matthew. Jesus talked about treating one another. And here the Lord is saying to us, "I will give you the Holy Spirit." Now, we have to establish in the book of Luke, chapter 11, verse 9, we also have to look at the story that Jesus tells before telling this. It also gives us a clue into how the Lord wants us to respond to him. So we're going to look at Luke chapter 11, and we're going to look at verse 1. Sorry, I will look at verse 5. My apologies, verse 5. And it says, "And he said to them, which of you shall have a friend and go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine has come to me on his journey, and I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer from within and say, do not trouble me. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give to you." And then the verse says, "I say to you, though he will not rise and give to him because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will rise and give him as many as he needs." Now, again, this is not here by accident. The Lord is trying to say to us, before he spoke about the knocking, the seeking, and the asking, he's establishing that there is a friend that is there. You need something to get, but that friend is refusing to get up to, and give it to you. But because of your persistence, he will rise and give you whatever you need. So the Lord has sent to us, Jesus said, "I'm going away, but I'm going to send you another just like me. And that other is the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is there to guide you and I into all truth, into all truth. Holy Spirit is there to help you and I as we pray. As we persist in the Lord, he said, if you're persistent like the friend, you're going to get an answer. But some people are not persistent. Some people knock for a short time. Some people say, I'm going to ask once or twice, and if I don't get the answer, oh well. But the Lord is establishing in this section in Luke, if you want to get answers from me, you need to be persistent in prayer. You need to be persistent in your asking. If you're persistent, then I'm going to answer you. I'm going to give you as much as you need in your persistence. So for some people, the issue is the treatment of others, how they treat individuals. The Lord says, the way you judge and the way you treat others, I'm going to measure back to you in the same manner. So when you get the answer may be in the same manner as how you treat other people. In this instance, the Lord tells another story in the book of Luke, and he says, if you're persistent in your asking, if you're persistent in your knocking, if you're persistent in your seeking, eventually I'm going to open up to you and I'm going to give you everything that you need. You know, in life, life isn't always black and white. We don't always know the reasons why the answers are not coming. Sometimes it's just the mercies of the Lord. The Lord is saying, you're not ready yet. If I give you the answers to that now, it's going to destroy you. Sometimes it's because of our response to him. Sometimes because our efforts aren't in the manner that it should be. We don't know exactly what it is, but the Lord is saying for a lot of us, we are just not persistent in our asking. This is why we seem not to receive. But the Lord has already said, I want to answer. I want to give. It gives me much pleasure when my children bear much fruit. So if the Lord has already given us his son, what good thing will he withhold from you and I? So we have to think in ourselves, if God has already given me his most precious gift, which is his son, surely in my asking, he's not going to withhold anything else from me. So there must be something that is there. You know, as we think of Daniel, you know, the archangel came to him and said, you know, we heard the answer from the very, but the answer was held up in the heavenlies. No, it doesn't tell us why the answers were held up in the heavenlies, but we know that the enemy was trying to work to for that answer not to get to Daniel. But God sends an angel. God sent the archangel to say, I need you to handle this business on behalf of Daniel. And he brought the answer. The answer came. So it was already established in the word that God heard the prayer from the very beginning. The answers were on the way, but Satan intervened and tried to stop the answers from coming. But God said, no, the answer is going to come to you and I. And I believe, as you know, in the word, we know that Daniel prayed persistently and consistently throughout. He prayed many times a day. The Lord is saying to you and I that you and I do not know for sure sometimes what the answer is that is holding up the things that we need. And we need to get down our knees and continue to seek the Lord in prayer until that answer is delivered to us, just like the archangel delivered it to Daniel. So the Lord is saying to us that in this setting, you and I need to be persistent. And he said, it is my pleasure to give you the Holy Spirit. So we thank God that Holy Spirit dwells inside you and I to help us into all truth. Let me share something else with you that, you know, it was just amazing how the Lord did this. I've told this story to Apostle, and most of my stories seem to be about my work life and the way that that God works to bless me in those areas. I remember I was working two jobs at my work. We went through some down times, and I, in fact, this is when I got promoted to vice president. I was a senior director in my company. And one day, the owner of the company came to me and said, you know, you're going home for Christmas break. What I want you to do is I want you to write down the three things about yourself that are the best three things about you and your character as it pertains to work. And after Christmas, I want you to come and share that with me. So I actually wrote down five things. I said to him, you know, I thought about what you said, and there are actually five things that I believe are essential to my character and the way that I work, and here they are. And I gave it to him. Lo and behold, a couple days later, he called me to his office, and he said to me, I was thinking about someone to start the M&A practice within the company, and you came to mind. So at that time, I was able to write out my own title as VP of Credit and Risk Management for the company. But the issue came up where I was being paid in a different manner for that kind of work as I was my regular job. And I was promised some money for finishing a transaction, but that money never came. My bonus came, bonus time came, everything came, but I didn't see these funds. And I remember my boss coming to me and handing me the funds into my hands. And I remember calling my wife, calling Colette, and I said to her, you know what? I was expecting to see this money within my bonus, but I didn't see it. And I tell you that the Lord is not, a voice came to me right away. What are you going to do? Just like that. As I was in my office, as I hung up with my wife, I was a bit disappointed. And the voice said, what are you going to do? And it wasn't the voice of the Lord, just to establish that. What are you going to do? And thoughts came to my head about going up to my boss's office and said, listen, you promised this. Not my boss, the owner, you promised this. I'm very disappointed. You said you were going to do this and you didn't do this. And immediately another voice entered into my mind and said, just be thankful. So I chose that voice instead of the other voice. I chose the voice of thankfulness. And I said in my office, Lord, I thank you for what I have. This bonus that I have is not a small thing. And I thank you for what I have. Now, you have to understand, at the time, my wife was not working where she was with. I think we had our second child at that time. We could have used that money. But the Lord said, just be thankful. So I said, Lord, I'm thankful. And as I finished the words, I'm thankful, the phone rang. And it was the owner that said, Dean, please come to my office. And when I went up to his office, he handed me another check for the money that he had promised. And I said to myself, imagine if I had listened to the first voice and I had called him and said how disappointed I was, how unhappy I was, how you promised and you did not deliver. He could have just secretly in his office taken that check and tore it up and I would know nothing about it. So this is where the Holy Spirit comes in and helps us. He takes us outside of ourselves. And when the other voices come in, the voice of the enemy comes in and tries to be dominant. The voice of the Lord comes in and tells us what to say, what to speak, what to do. So the Lord says, as you seek me, as you ask for me, and as you knock, I've sent you the Holy Spirit to be your helper that will guide you into what to say, into what to do, so that the things that you ask for will manifest themselves. That could have been a time of destruction for me had I listened to that first voice. But I am the Lord's. I am the Lord's child. And the word says that I only hear his voice. Yes, we hear other voices, but I heeded to the voice that I know, not the voice that I didn't know. And it resulted in a blessing for me that could have been destroyed had I acted on something else. Praise the Lord. So I thank the Lord today. I just want to go through a couple quick verses to reinforce what this teaching was about today. So if we turn to John 16, verse 13, just put that up on the screen. John 16, verse 13, it says, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you the things to come. Now, the voice didn't tell me the things to come. In the example, in the testimony I just gave, the voice knew the things to come and ensured that I did not intervene with my own will to destroy the blessing that was coming to my hand. If you turn now to Psalm 9, verse 10. Psalm 9, verse 10 says, and those who know your name will put their trust in you, for you, Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you. So the Lord is saying to you and I, seek him. He has not forsaken you and I. As much as the enemy says the answer is never going to come, it is not going to come. The Lord is trying to reinforce in your life and in my life, he has not forsaken you and I. Continue to seek him and he will heed to those promises that he will answer our prayers. Let's turn to Daniel chapter 10, verse 12. Then he said to me, do not fear, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come because of your words. This is what you and I want in our lives. We want to live a life that is so pleasing to God that he'll respond to us in the same manner in which he responded to Daniel. He said from the very first day, you know, these are the kind of answers that I need in these times. And I'm sure you do as well, that when we ask the Lord for something, the very same day the Lord is prepared to answer you and I. He said to Daniel, from the very first day that you prayed, you sought to understand. And this is the key. Sometimes we don't seek to understand. Sometimes we just say, you know, that's life. We win some, we lose some. But God says we will always get an answer. We will always find. The door is always going to be open to us. So let's not be relaxed when it comes to seeking the Lord and asking him for things. Because the Lord says if we seek to understand why things are not happening in our life, And if we humble ourselves to hear from the word of God, to hear what he's saying to us, and we heed it and respond in a different manner, I am sure right now the Lord is speaking to someone on this line, someone in the church to say, yes, these are the things that we need to correct. These are the things that we need to change. The Holy Spirit is speaking to us right now to say, okay, I can see why things have maybe not gone the way they should in my life. These are the things that we need to change. Do not resist the Holy Spirit. Do not resist what the Lord is trying to teach us right now. He said, if we seek to understand and if we humble ourselves, then he is never going to forsake us. And this is what you and I want in our lives today. If we turn now to Proverbs chapter 8, verse 17. It says, I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently will find me. This is what the Lord is saying. This is the second or the first part of the laws and the promise. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy mind, with all thy soul, and with all thy strength. God says, I love those who love me, and those who seek me will find me. So the Lord is saying that, you know, yes, it's important to love thy neighbor as thyself, because it's just as important as loving God, just as important. Because in the book of 1 John chapter 4, it says that, you know, if you say that you love me and do not love your brother, then you are a liar. This is what the word says. I'm not putting those words there. It says you're a liar, because how could you love God who you have not seen and not love your brother who you see every single day? And this is the issue that we're having in the world today. People choose not to love one another. People choose to withhold from one another. People choose to seek their own instead of seeking the better good for everyone around them. And this is the issue that we're having in our world today. Now, I just want to finish up with Matthew chapter 25, and we're going to turn to verse 35. And this is speaking about when the Lord returns and he's going to judge. And he says to us, for I was hungry and you gave me food, and I was thirsty and you gave me drink, and I was a stranger and you took me in. And the question was, I was naked, yeah, thank you, and I was naked, and you clothed me, and I was sick, and you visited me, and I was in prison, and you came to me. Next verse, please. And it says, then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And this is what the Lord answered. When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the king will answer and say to them, assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these my brethren, you did it to me. So this is reinforcing what the Lord is saying. If you treat people right, if you love your brother, you're also loving the Lord. If you feed the hungry, if you heal the sick, if you do right by your brother, the Lord says, you're actually doing it to me. And he said, likewise, starting at verse 42, of the same Matthew 25, verse 42, then he says the same thing to the others. They're going to say the same thing. Lord, when did we not do this to you? And it says, for I was hungry and you gave me no food. I was thirsty and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger and you did not take me in. Naked and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison and you did not visit me. And they will ask the same question. They also will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister to you? Then he will answer them, saying, assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. So, brethren, this is what the Lord is saying to you and I. If we want answers to our prayers, if we're not getting answers to our prayers, there are two possible scenarios of why that is not happening. One, we need to investigate our love life towards other people. We need to investigate the way we treat other people, the way we judge, the way we interact with our family members, the way we treat our wives and husbands. We need to investigate those things. And if that is not the issue that is your issue, then the Lord says, well, you need to look at your persistence in prayer. You need to look at your prayer life. You need to look at the way that you interact with me, the way that you come to me, how often you seek me concerning the things that you're looking for. Because if you are persistent in your prayer, the Lord says, surely I am going to answer you. So I thank you, brethren, for the time, Apostle. I thank you for the time that you've given me. This is what the Lord has laid on my heart today. And I pray that this was a blessing to the people that have heard it, and that the Lord is speaking to us right now to look into our lives, to build a stronger relationship, not only with him, but also to the people around us. Praise the Lord.
Word. What a powerful word. Son, as you were sharing that word, I reflected on what you were sharing, and I came to the conclusion that the answer was actually one thing. And the reason I came to that conclusion is the Luke passage that you were just sharing from. He said that the man had a friend that came at night, and he went to ask his neighbor for bread, right? And the guy says, I can't. But he was persistent. Why was he persistent? He was persistent because he needed bread for his friend. So unanswered prayer actually boils down to one thing. How are you interested in other people, or are you all about yourself? And you know, in James, I think it's James chapter 4 and verse 3, I think that's where it is. He says, why don't you get answers to prayer? He says, because you ask amiss. And the reason you ask amiss is because you ask so that you can consume it on your own lust. It's all about you. And child of God, this is a please take a hold of what Minister Dean has shared with us today. The real reason to unanswered prayers is that you are all about yourself. That is powerful. That is an atomic bomb. That is just, oh my Lord, this is a secret that just dismantles the forces of darkness. That rather than focusing on yourself, find somebody to pray for. You want an answer? As you measure to others, so it's going to be measured to you. You know, there are people that have made promises or commitments, and they break their words, and then they are doing business or whatever, and people break the word to them. And they say, oh, why this? Oh, why that? Let's fast, let's pray, let's this. And so many times, I just look at them. I say, I'll pray with you, but I know exactly what result I'm going to get. What is happening is because they've not kept their word. You need to just go back and keep your word, and then you'll get a word that is not broken.
We live frustrated lives because of things like this. I'm so blessed by this word. You don't know how much. You know, I want everyone to hear what you've shared tonight, because it is the key. It is a key, a master key. How are you treating other people? If somebody asks you for something and you drag your feet, expect God to drag his feet too. You see, that's the way it is. They ask you for something, get on top of it, fast, fast, sharp, sharp, get it done. And God says, just the way you treat other people, that's how I'm going to treat you. Isn't that remarkable? You know, you've been reading, ask and you shall receive, seek and now today, you see why it's there, right? How many of you are going to respond and just repent before the Lord and say, God, I just repent. I'm going to start doing things the right way. I don't want any delays. I don't want anything stopping me or hindering me. I just want your power to move on my life. And so he says in Luke, the Luke passage, he says, he'll give you the Holy Spirit. Why? Because when you are interested in other people's issues to solve it, God will give you the Holy Spirit so that you can do what you got to do. Make sense? That's awesome. I'm feasting you. Hallelujah. Praise God. Aren't you, you know, I'm so glad when I see, you know, sons, you know, coming up with, you know, powerful words like this. I'm encouraged in my heart, you know, to know, hey, it's happening. It's happening. God is good. And it's been very good tonight. Amen. That's why we give. That's why we pray. That's why we do everything we do. Living our lives, because no apple fruit or apple tree has eaten its own fruit. Yeah? If you're bearing fruit, people got to chow down on what you've got. That's how you're blessing. We live in our lives for other people to be a blessing to others. And God says, that's what you're doing? That's like me. That's like me. I live life to be a blessing. And I see you doing the same thing. Rise with me. Father, I just want to thank you for this son. Lord, oh God, he has presented to us your everlasting word, a word that has established your truth in our spirits. And we become very present and very aware of our need to be of service to each other. For it is in our commitment to serve one another that true growth happens, true increase takes place. Father, we bless your holy name. We receive this word and we're transformed by it. We are renewed in our thinking, in our mindset, in our approach to life by it. And so, Lord, oh God, today I just speak your blessings upon this servant. I thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in him and what you're doing in this body, your body, the body of Christ. That, Lord, oh God, we are not looking to the things that's just about us, but we're looking into how we can be of help, of assistance to others, how we can be a blessing to them and not be weary in well-doing. Father, we give you praise for this anointing, for this grace, so, Lord, oh God, that we can do what you've called us to do. We don't want to be those who ask and receive not, because we ask amiss. We ask wrongly that we may consume it upon our own lust. But rather, we want to be, O God, that generation of people that, Lord, O God, ask. Because, O God, we ask to be a blessing. Father, bless us to be a blessing. Prosper us, O God, that we can be conduits of grace, distributors of wealth. Lord, in the name of Jesus, we'll receive supernatural wisdom so that, Lord, O God, we can guide your people appropriately. Father, everything that we need to be of service to your people, we ask for now. Let there be a downpour, an outpouring of grace, Lord, O God, for your favor to be made manifest in the lives of men and women everywhere. Thank you, Lord, for the grace to serve. In Jesus' mighty name, we decree it so now done. And all of God's people together in agreement said, yes and amen. Praise the Lord. Were you blessed by that word? Hallelujah. Amen, 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 amen. That's awesome. That's awesome. That's awesome. Well, at this time, let us honor God with our giving, blessing the name of the Most High God, who has granted us the privilege to give. See, when you have a giving heart, you know, I've been in ministry now some 45, going to 46 years, and what I found to be true in the body is that givers keep on giving. You think they have given and they've given more than enough and they won't be able to give anymore, but your givers are always your givers. And I always am thrilled in my spirit when new people jump into the ranks of givers. And I say, wow, another person has caught the vision, you know, because giving is about others. True? Anything that you do to be a blessing to somebody else causes you to be blessed. If you're a taker and all you do is take, 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 give me, give me, give me, you will always live in the realm of give me, give me, give me. But when you start giving, you elevate yourself. I had a man many years ago, he's not a believer, but he said, the hand of the giver is always on top of the hand of the receiver. And I said, huh? This man, you don't know God and you know this truth? I thought about it. Yeah, the giver is always put in, the hand of the receiver is always underneath. May you be on top and not be beneath. Amen? Hallelujah. You know, turn things around. Praise the Lord. God is good all the time. Yes, yes. Well, bless you. Enjoy a wonderful day and a wonderful week in God. And I look forward to having you here next Wednesday when we start the Waymaker Conference. God is going to speak to us. And I'm excited about what he's going to do in our lives. And so go and start praying and believing, not just praying for yourself, pray for somebody else. God, do something in our church. Do something in my neighbor's life. Do something. And that will turn your life around. Amen? Be a way maker. God bless you. Good night. Good son. Excellent. Talk to you later. Amen.